Endgame has like one of the coolest cinematic moments ever, and that's the like on your right and
left.
On your left.
Wow.
Fake fan.
Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. That was very energized. You haven't even had coffee yet.
I had one sip.
Okay. Is that what you're drinking then?
Yes.
What a natural segui, eh?
So good. I do like coffee.
It's not black, though.
No, it's not. It's, we got to clean up the last of the Irish cream.
We're doing the whole clear out everything in the fridge thing.
And why are we doing that?
Because we're going away.
Away!
Away! We've talked about it before. We are going traveling for, like, a long time.
Yes, much to the chagrin of my workplace.
Yeah, and our cats.
Well, yes, especially the cats. Mm-hmm. Poor kitties. I care more about the kitties than the workplace.
Yeah, well, kitties are going to be sad. Your workplace is a different kind of sad.
Yeah. Anyway.
How are you, Brandon, other than that?
Oh, fine.
Yeah. We already said we were drinking coffee with finishing up the Irish cream. And do you have a nerd thing this week?
Do I?
I don't know. That's why I asked.
I don't know. Not really.
Yeah.
Played some Xbox.
Anything worth chatting about, Xbox-wise?
Not really. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What about you?
I've been playing a lot of games, too, but I'm on summer vacation, so I've been doing, like, oh, man, long to-do lists, basically.
Yeah, you've been doing. You have been very busy.
Yeah, well,
you even mowed the lawn yesterday.
I did.
The day before, I guess.
Busy. Basically, I'm trying to cram all the, like, random house projects that I typically do in, like, a month into a week was my plan. And I got most of them done. Plus, like, running around stuff, packing and getting stuff ready and appointments and things like that.
Oh.
I know. So, just busy, but, like, good, and it's summer vacation, so yay, I can do it all.
You haven't packed any of my clothes
yet. I haven't.
Though.
I did make you a list, though.
Hooray!
So I feel like that's worth something.
One pair of socks and two pairs of underwear.
No, yeah, well, that's pretty much. Yeah, you should see my... are you, like, a plan stuff out? I already know the answer, but we're just talking about this. Are you a plan stuff out packer, or are you a stare at the closet and, like, pull things out and...
I'm a pull things outer.
Yeah. I am a planner.
Yeah. Well, it's probably better. That's probably why I end up packing more.
Yeah.
But yeah, because, like, I want to have options. I don't know what I want to wear on the day.
But, like, I still bring plenty of stuff, but I make sure I bring, you know, enough stuff to give options, but not extra stuff. And all my stuff goes with each other, and if you hear random noises, that's our cat freaking out. Someone had way too good of a sleep last night, apparently.
She just body checked me and spilt coffee.
Ooh,
crazy kitty.
Oh, that probably didn't feel good. But yes, I'm a planner, and you are not, but that's okay. That's why you make piles and I make it all work.
Yeah, well, hopefully we plan out a little better, because you're in Europe for so long.
Yeah.
With not much packing, you can't really go too crazy, so.
Exactly. We have a show that we watched all of it.
I think we should probably talk about it as, like, the first half of the main topic and go into
Sure.
We can kind of just dump our thoughts on it, kind of like how Disney dumped it onto Disney Plus.
Ah, nice. Yes, that's
and
true.
No one seems to really care about spoilers, so...
Okay, so consider this your only spoiler warning, since it doesn't matter. Okay, so let's just put a pin in it then, and we'll talk about it in our main topic.
But it's Ironheart that we're talking about,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, Ironheart, yes. Okay, then let's head to the news. Disney A News Update. There's some news and everything like that, but the thing is, we're going to be gone for so long.
We are, yes. And there'll be no news.
And there'll be no news while we're gone. Yeah. So, I had like a bunch of construction update stuff, and I'm like, all that is going to be changing so rapidly while we're gone.
They're doing a bunch of construction.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
Matterhorn's going to open soon, though, you
yeah,
said.
Yeah, yeah. So it originally wasn't on the calendar at all, and now it's on the calendar for, like 3 weeks, 2 weeks from now or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, a couple weeks. That's good. It's been down for a while.
Yeah. And they have Big Thunder is going to go down in the future, but we don't know when, but it'll be soon. So it's good they're getting one up and going. That basically, the only real takeaway from there is yeah, keep your eye on the calendar because that's the best information you can, or the only way to get information sometimes. But, like, also understand that it's entirely subject to change.
Yeah, they don't have to know when the renovation project's going to be done, even though the calendar's out 2 months. They don't have to know 2 months ahead of
time. Yeah, exactly. It's their, like, best guess. They can make any changes they want.
And they'll usually have a soft opening even before the day itself.
Yeah, like they did with Tiki Room.
Yeah, so.
I guess really the only like notable thing from that, though, and I mean, like, it doesn't really, wouldn't really matter to us, but Pixie Hollow has been closed, like, forever, and that is reopened now.
Hooray.
So I guess that was just really the only notable thing.
Did they add a roller coaster while it was closed?
I don't think they did.
No, I don't care.
Hey, actually, that would be a really cool roller coaster, though.
Yeah, Pixie Flying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It could be a kiddie coaster, I guess.
Sure, like a family one.
I mean,
and
it wouldn't fit there, but like, yes, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and then have like, oh, now you're a pixie, and then you got to like fly around and stuff.
Tinkerbell dust you. Kind of like the How to Train Your Dragon roller coaster at Epic Universe is like a family coaster where they're trying to, they make a contraption to make you feel like you're flying in a dragon is the in-universe reason that it exists.
Yeah, so do that for Pixie Hollow. I don't think it would fit there.
No.
And then just other construction, you can tell that they are making they are moving forward on all their plans.
They're digging.
There's a whole bunch of piles of dirt, basically. They're whooping and hollering is what.
Yeah, and downtown Disney is busy with construction as
well.
Yes,
that's right.
They're sticking on fancy stickers onto the ESPN building.
Yeah,
basically.
It looks a lot better though.
It does. It does. We did talk about that before, but it's making a lot of progress.
There's a lot of progress now. It's and much more significant.
They're putting some retail stuff
yes,
in there.
Are.
Is what mm-hmm. is what's gonna go on. So
well,
whatever.
Much better than a big brick eyesore sitting there empty, right? Yep, they're making a bunch of progress there, and then Earl of Sandwich is moving right along, and basically they went from, like, no progress to, like, a ton of progress across the board.
Which is how those retail locations go. You do everything below ground, and then the above ground stuff that actually looks like something goes really quick.
Well, yeah, they always say as soon as you start going vertical, it's like, snap your fingers and you're done, basically.
Unless you blow a water main and destroy all your electrical.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you had any experience with that one?
my new office building went vertical, and they were like supposed to be done like 3 months ago, and we won't be in there for another 9 months
because
or something.
Of destroying the vertical.
Because
of destroying the electrical, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of destroying the electrical, we could have included this in our random nerd stuff. We watched a new Trainwreck episode, which is all over social media and everything like that.
So Trainwreck is a documentary series on Netflix. They've done this in the past. Mm-hmm. I quite like the Dirty Money one.
Right.
Because I'm a money nerd, I guess. I don't know.
Apparently you are.
But like various financial scandals through time and very well done. And then now they have this Trainwreck one, which is like just weird news stories basically.
Yeah.
And the one that went viral out of this series so far was the Carnival Poop Cruise.
Yeah, which I remember happening
vaguely.
Very vaguely. I said the thing I remember most is like the SNL skit that went along with that kind of thing. Yeah. So anyway, that was interesting. We are going on a river cruise, not quite the same.
Yeah, if that loses power and gets stranded, you can just swim to the shore.
Yeah, stick right there.
Uh-huh. But we do have a ocean cruise booked.
We do.
Not with Carnival.
No. In July 2026.
Does that make you less excited, more nervous?
I don't know about... The thing that really got me because it's, first of all, not with Carnival. So, like, that's okay. And I understand, like, that's a really random thing. We are going to be, like, closer along the coast. So, you know, the whole out in the middle of the ocean thing doesn't really happen. But when they were getting tugged and it showed the boat, like, how it basically was on its side.
Well, it was listing.
It was listing, yes.
Not
yes.
on its side.
Well, no, but for very
that would be very bad.
That would be very bad. For very motion sick me, that is what that would feel like. And so, like, that was, like, the defining moment where I'm like, yep, that's just not appealing at all, thanks.
Well, you're going to go anyway, and
I am
you're
going to
enjoy it.
Okay.
And we're not going to get stuck with poop cruise.
So. No, we are not. I think the chances of that happening ever again are, like, very...
The ship we're going on is brand new, so it's not going to catch on
yeah,
fire.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, other news, we've got Summer of Movies is, like, motoring right along. We have Jurassic Park
came out this weekend.
Yes.
Jurassic World.
Whatever.
Yeah. Not supposed to be great.
Which is too bad, because I was kind of hoping it would be, like, fun.
It could still be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to turn your brain off. Which
is fine for that kind of thing. Unless you're watching the first one, you kind of have to do that anyway, so.
Yeah, I think.
I enjoyed the second one, actually.
They've.
Not just because Ian Malcolm was in it.
They've made so many Jurassic Park sequels, and each one, I think, keeps getting worse.
Oh, man. We haven't watched the last couple Jurassic World ones, right? We only watched the first one?
I've only seen the first Jurassic World, and... That was okay.
It was fine.
The best part was Jimmy Buffett saving his margaritas.
That's true. That is very
actually,
true.
Actually, no. The best part about Jurassic World is that they made Velocicoaster.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
In Universal
because
Studios.
Of it, yeah.
Because it's based on Jurassic World.
So. I liked the little homage stuff to the movie in it.
The homage stuff to the movie?
To Jurassic Park. That was in Jurassic World.
Yeah. Not enough.
No, probably not. But I'm like, is it bad that the best part of the movie is the stuff that wasn't about the movie? It's about a different movie. But yes, Jimmy Buffett saving his margaritas. Two margaritas.
Yeah.
One for each hand. It's in the song.
He always had his priorities straight.
It is true. Okay, so for this is like Disney World more. But Tom Sawyer's Island. Done. Closing. Yeah.
I wasn't
apparently,
sure when they're doing all that.
Well, without, I don't think there was notice, but apparently today, like we're recording this Sunday, on the Disneyland app, it is warn, or the Disney World app, sorry, it is warning guests that it is their last chance to experience Tom Sawyer Island. So if it's actually the last day or not, or if they're going to have that for a few days, you know, that wouldn't surprise me, but like, yeah, she's done.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I guess so. There is a whole lot of merch. It is now officially, you know, after Independence Day. So Halloween has started. Basically, all the Halloween merch is out. And Oogie Boogie is going to start here in like a month and a bit. So, yeah, Halloween merch is out. There's Haunted Mansion stuff. There's Nightmare Before Christmas stuff. But there's also like specific Halloween 2025 stuff. And, I think that is...
The Haunted Mansion stuff does look pretty cool.
The Haunted Mansion stuff looks really good.
And then, yeah, we got a couple comic book movies. You said summer movie season, so...
Oh, yes.
You know, which we've talked about.
Yes, so, just man. Fantastic Four and Superman are both, like, coming up right away, and we aren't...
I'm more excited for both of those than Jurassic
Me too.
World was.
But we aren't going to get to see them till we come back, so...
No.
I know. You're gonna at least it'll be okay to avoid spoilers because you won't be on your phone very much or internet or anything
That's
like that.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And I will make a point, like we come home on a Wednesday or something like that, and so I'll make a point to see Fantastic Four that weekend.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'll be really busy working the rest of the time, but.
Yeah, we come home and then we go to a play. That weekend, so we can squeeze in a movie.
Well, no, we come home and I work for 47 hours.
In
and
2 days.
And then we go to a play.
Yes, I meant that weekend to go to the play.
Yeah.
So we can easily, well, I don't know about easily, but we can definitely make sure we get Fantastic Four in there. Superman, though, we might have to wait for, because...
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm not too worried about
between
that.
Between the two of them.
I am excited to see it.
It looks like, yeah, I'm optimistic.
But I can wait. I don't know. You can't really spoil me. Superman's gonna fight Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
That's...
Lois Lane will be involved.
Yeah. Mm.
The end.
Probably gonna fly.
Probably do some flying, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a super dog in it.
There is a super dog.
I think that's basically the plot of Superman.
And Nathan Fillion has a bowl cut. We already know that.
Oh, yes. do you have any other news, or do you want to go to the main topic?
Did we? I can't remember, because when it was fresh news, we forgot about it. But did we revisit the fact that, yeah, I think we did, that Jon Bernthal is going to be in the new Spider-Man movie?
Yes, we did last time,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It is crazy. And
I'm very curious.
This Spider-Man movie is going to be very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I'm like, well, that might be a nice way to segue, but like, yeah, that's a crazy combination there. But I also thought it would be a crazy combination that they were trying to do with Ironheart.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I brought it up again, because, yes, Ironheart went a path that I didn't think would work at all.
Okay, well, let's talk about that then.
What's in the bag?
It's not a head, it's just content.
Oh.
Ah. Disney A grab bag. Speaking of crazy combinations that we didn't think was going to work, Ironheart. They, like you said, they dumped this, okay? So they did.
So, yeah, let's kind of set the stage.
Okay.
Ironheart, Riri Williams was a character in Black Panther Wakanda Forever.
Yes.
Years ago. Kind of like her. Backdoor pilot, they used it, and they were going to have this show. They shot them back to back. Think about how long ago Black Panther Wakanda Forever came out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And this was shot at the same time
and
is just coming out now. Whoopsie.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's tough when you're having an interconnected universe to delay something that long and still have it come out. And as the years went on, we had heard several rumors about like what the plot of the show was and like, you knew who the villain was, and there's, like, comic book history with the villain that's in it. And
the Hood.
And there was casting speculation all the way along. And, like, people were talking about Mephisto being in it.
And
we're like, that sounds stupid.
Yeah, because the entire thing is about science and technology. Like, her whole thing is she's building, like, basically an Iron Man suit for herself. And it's like, well, why are you putting Mephisto in something that's all tech-focused?
Well, that was the line of thinking, but it turns out it's not about being tech-focused. It's about the need and want for power.
Exactly.
And what you're willing to do to go through that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that worked at, like, combining those two.
Then it totally made
things
sense.
Things made a lot of sense, and then you had the other surprise villain.
Right.
I use that in quotes. Throwback all the way back to the real first MCU movie.
Yes.
There's some conjecture now that Wesley Snipes was in Deadpool, that actually his Blade movie is the first MCU movie, kind of, but anyway. The first real one was Iron Man.
Yeah, yeah.
And the villain in that was Obadiah Stane.
Obadiah Stane.
And his son is in...
Is in Ironheart,
Ezekiel
Stane.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool,
and
it's kind of showing the different paths to legacy and power and things like that, and it's very, I thought that theme actually worked very well for the show.
So we did not make it a secret that this was, like, we were kind of thinking this was a very forgettable show. They're like, they're gonna dump it, we'll watch it, whatever. What do you think now?
Not my favorite, but I think it actually did what it needed to do. I don't think the main character of Riri was, like, my favorite protagonist in the world. She's kind of annoying. The surrounding characters were actually really good.
They were
great. All of her friends.
Yeah. Literally every single one of her friends.
Her love interest, her mom. Her mom is, like, a great mom. She's, like, cares about her without being overbearing and, like, is protective without, I don't know.
Yeah.
She, like, understands that she's like a strong, independent woman that needs to figure out her own stuff, but is still worried about her. And like, great
like
mom
one
character.
Of the best mom portrayals. Yeah. And like, yeah, you know who she really gives me vibes of, speaking from the MCU? She's very Aunt May-ish.
Yeah,
but Aunt May like was less mom-like, and part of her whole thing is like trying to figure out how to do this thing that she didn't sign up to do. And like,
she's what Aunt May aspired to be.
Yes,
I think, yeah.
I think that's a good way to say it. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, all the supporting characters and like, Ulrich Einrich, or however you say his name, from Han Solo fame.
Man, he did a great.
He's great.
Job.
Hopefully, he gets out of movie jail, because like somehow that whole kind of disaster of the Solo film kind of blew back on him.
Even that
had nothing
bad.
To do with him,
yeah.
Really. He did fine in that movie. Like, that's a tough.
Yeah,
that's a tough thing to step into Harrison Ford's
no
shoes.
No kidding.
Hopefully he gets some more roles now.
I hope so.
Because he was pretty good in
this. I actually really liked him in this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is like a super good fit for him.
And then, of course, Anthony Ramos is...
who I love.
One of your
yes.
favorites.
He, yes.
He's a very talented fellow.
He really is.
He's tried to go into different things. Mm-hmm. Like, he was in one of the Transformer offshoots that was a terrible...
I kind
of
forgot that he was in that.
and whatever. Of course, we know him from Hamilton.
Yes. Yeah, and In the Heights.
And In the Heights,
well.
Which mm-hmm. we don't know him from In the Heights.
No, but we know
yet.
He was in that, yes. But, yeah.
He's good. He's got...
He is really talented.
He's good at the acting thing. So.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. I liked him in this role a lot, too. I know, I was kind of very much like... Every time he's on screen, am I just going to be seeing, like, him in Hamilton? Like, am I just going to be like, hey, John Lawrence? Like...
Yeah,
but
I wanted to see him have a pint of Sam Adams. But...
Right. there were a couple like jokes we made while we were watching it, but for the most part, nah, he did a really good job with that. Their whole crew, literally all the minor characters are amazing. And I was like, I am a super big fan now. I don't even remember her name. Her mom runs the store and she's in...
Zell or something like that.
Yeah. So,
anyway, she's a comic book character that is... In the comics, kind of linked to Doctor Strange and the Mystic Arts. And in this, they have a link. Like, her mom went to Kamertage and was is with the wizards there or whatever, the sorcerers there. But she seemed kind of halfway between a sorcerer and a witch.
Yeah, like, which is what I was super
very
interested.
Agatha-y, Wanda-y.
Yeah, but, like, bridging that gap a little
which
bit.
Which is really cool. Like,
then I was like, do more with her.
Yeah.
Because I like the Doctor Strange stuff, and I like the Agatha stuff, and, like, she's trying to combine them together.
Like, I want to see her hanging out with Wanda's kids and...
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
And, like, do a... You don't have to call it Agatha season 2 or whatever, but, like...
Some kind
bring,
of link there.
Bring
yeah.
that all together.
Yeah, well, Agatha's trying to help him go find his brother. Maybe they just wander into Chicago and, like...
Exactly.
Yeah. So, there is room for that, and I really, really liked... her role and things like that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the minor characters were amazing. The whole crew, like, that Riri ends up working with and everything,
yeah,
they're great.
The heist crew, they're pretty good. Like,
I liked
the acting, I think, was a little uneven, maybe.
That's,
but yeah. Like, a heist crew is always just fun. And
yeah.
It's like...
I had fun watching them.
Film shorthand. It's like, yeah, this is the brawlers, and this is the tech people, and, like...
It was super cliche that way, and they were very much caricatures of themselves. But you're right, some of them are better actors than others.
Yeah.
But it was, like, fun to watch them.
Yeah, I could have used one more episode of them being, like, a cohesive crew where they felt more family-like, because they went from, like, oh, we're co-workers, to, like, oh, we're family, and how could you kill our friends, or whatever. Like, a little uneven just because it was a short series.
I totally agree. They could have done another episode, and honestly, it would have been nice to see them doing more heist stuff anyway, because that's supposed to be like this big focus of it. And
I
agree.
You could have had one heist go perfectly with Riri on the team,
mm-hmm.
And then the one that they kind of mess up.
Yeah, and we see like her initial one, and that went like pretty well because she was like thinking on her feet and stuff, but like that was by the book that
yeah
she
they should have had
it,
one in between that went like mm-hmm. perfectly, and then you see them being like a cohesive unit kind
yeah
of. That's fine, whatever. They were all really good,
mm-hmm.
and you start to see how the like occult kind of pulls into this
yeah.
whole thing throughout it, and I'm like, well, are they gonna go for this? And then they kind of in the second to last episode, they teased Dormammu, who we've heard of, and that's actually who the Hood, Anthony Ramos's villain character, gets his powers from in the comic.
Yes.
So it was kind of an interesting tease that
way. Yeah, you're like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing.
But then in the last episode, as they've been teasing all the way along and all the rumors, you finally get the first official sighting and appearance of Mephisto in the MCU.
Yes. Sacha Baron Cohen playing Mephisto. And I said, when I heard that, I was like, oh, I mean, like, I can see him, like, playing that, but also, like, it was all part of this disjointed, I didn't think it would fit in and stuff like that. I thought he did a great Mephisto.
I think it's almost perfect casting because that guy is basically a chameleon.
Like, yeah.
He can...
When you want to talk about talented actors,
his history, like, yeah, you hear about your Borats and your dictators, but he's done an in-depth character sketch comedy for a long mm-hmm. time, where he's playing off of people that are not in on the joke a lot, so he can go that hard on a character idea and
that's a
make
really
it work.
Point. Yeah.
So like even in Les Mis,
best part of Les Mis.
Yeah, for sure.
He was great.
He did it. He did a good job in that.
And actually, this character, when I was thinking about him before I saw it, I was like, this is actually going to be, I bet he's going to play it kind of like he plays the innkeeper in Les Mis. Just this idea where, like, oh, he's pretending everything's fine, but he's super sleazy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite that, but, like.
But, yeah, he's.
I was, like, you're right.
I
perfect
was
casting.
Very impressed. Just, of course, a short part of one episode. Yeah. But very well done. Minimal effects, just some voice super helpful.
It was super helpful that they didn't like go over the top with effects for him.
Yeah, and it makes sense. Like he wouldn't appear in his red devil.
We got a reflection, a distorted small reflection.
So I'm cautiously optimistic that we can have him kind of working in the background and doing stuff along the way without being too overtly in your face Thanos type villain.
I think he works better when he's like, I think that character will work better if he's shows up here and there, like he's peppered throughout. And then you're like, oh wait, he actually made a deal with this guy or this, right?
Yeah. And you can have that all the way along and just be kind of, and like, theorize that maybe he has something to do with this, but you don't really know. I don't know. We'll see what they actually do. Like we said, this was horribly delayed.
Yeah, so who knows?
So who knows what the actual plan is now? I've heard that they are looking after the two Doom-led Avengers movies. They're going to be going more into mutants, of course, and mystic stuff.
That's interesting, because I think they've cast very well for all that. Benedict Cumberbatch is one of the only ones still around doing those things as well. And we all love Wongers.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I guess I enjoyed this. It's not my favorite, but I enjoyed it. And I can see a lot of things that they do with it. But in the back of my mind, I'm always like, this was supposed to drop so long ago.
Yeah,
are they even going to touch it now?
It makes me like, is this going the way of the Eternals where they'll just maybe mention one tiny piece of it at some point, I don't know.
You don't hire Sacha Baron Cohen and set him up for a major character like Mephisto and then, like, forget about him. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
I hope not, anyway.
But, yeah, so I wasn't super excited about this show. It was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Not, like, an amazing surprise, but it's a pleasant surprise.
Okay, so I kept saying, leading into this, I was like, I kind of felt, going into Ms. Marvel, I was like, oh yeah, that's coming out and we'll watch it, but whatever. And then I ended up really, really liking it. Do you like this better or Ms. Marvel?
I like parts of this better.
I do too.
I like Iman Vellani.
Yes.
And Ms. Marvel as a character more, but like she's easier to root for.
Yeah.
Riri as a character was not easy to root for because she's kind of a biatch.
But she's supposed to root for her.
It worked for the theme that they were going for, where she's like, she's conflicted and she has a lot of trauma and she wants to protect her family and goes about things in the wrong way. And like, I mean, Tony Stark did yeah. something similar on a bigger scale, right? Yeah. So you can see how it works. And yeah, so after having seen all six episodes, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'd be curious to see where we go from here.
Hopefully it goes somewhere from here, I guess, is more my thing.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that I want to know more about, mostly Mephisto. But anyway, yeah. Okay, the other thing we were going to talk about. These are both, like, news adjacent, because the one was Ironheart coming out and, like, reviewing that. Oh, before we move on, sorry, what did you think about the format? The three episodes 1 week and three episodes the next week. So not dumping it all like they did with Echo, but, like, adjacent to that.
I didn't like it. I liked the three episodes with Andor.
Mm-hmm.
Because those were basically a movie.
Yeah.
There was no reason that these three episodes, like, the three episodes were grouped together other than just they wanted to get it over with in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, this one had a big problem because there was, like, mega spoilers.
Yeah.
In both batches, like, Ezekiel Stane being in the first batch and, yeah. and Mephisto in the second batch. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't sit down at 7 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 yeah. p.m. our time, or whatever the actual release time was, and watch them all straight back to back, you're gonna get spoiled.
Yeah.
If you read anything on the internet, like it was online almost immediately.
Which is, I mean, yeah, spoilers always come out for Marvel stuff and everything else, but like this was insane.
It was in your face, and I think it was because most people weren't excited about the show, and so
who cares?
So they were like, oh, this is the exciting piece of this show. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, but
which is annoying, but
it is annoying. And those two parts are like, I want to see what they do with those two parts later, right? So, if they were gonna dump it, I wish they would have done 2, 2, and 2 instead.
It is, and these it wasn't a short, weren't short no. episodes. They're all an hour,
yeah,
like a full hour.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, investing 3 hours on a Tuesday night is not in most people's repertoire. I can tell you, it's not in mine.
Right. Yeah.
So. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to do these dumps, maybe do it on a Friday.
Yeah, that'd be okay. Then or you have something. The weekend.
Then you have mm-hmm. the weekend, and then the spoiler machine can churn out slowly over the weekend.
Right.
And then by the time the weekend's done, then Monday morning you have your...
That would be,
your trades, articles, and stuff like that going. That would be better.
Yeah. I didn't love this format. I get that they are like... playing with it, but it felt like it was being dumped and no one cared, and yeah, I don't think anyone can be surprised when that's what reviews and ratings and stuff like that are gonna be like now too.
And now this is probably the last Disney Plus show that was under the old regime where
yes
they were
that's true
charged with pumping out stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We still have Vision Quest or whatever they're gonna call that
yeah
show under development. That's going to come out sometime,
right.
Maybe next year. I don't know. No one knows.
No one knows.
That one is more purposeful and will have probably a better release. They're still experimenting with how it works, and I think we'll have like one Disney Plus Marvel show a year-ish.
Yeah, I think so. And probably one Marvel and maybe one Star Wars.
Yeah, and like maybe some special presentations
yeah.
sprinkled in there. We're
that
supposed
would
to get
be
a
okay.
Punisher one.
Yes, that would... I'm very interested in that, especially leading into Spider-Man now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it leads into Spider-Man.
That's
maybe
what I'm
it leads
wondering.
Out of Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows? But I actually wouldn't mind that so much, as opposed to trying to dump a show and then thinking, yeah, anyway. Anyway, yeah. It was better than I expected. How about that?
Yeah, and the bigger reveals were kind of surprising, because the other thing with these Disney Plus shows now, they want to make them feel more optional, which
right.
is fine. But
these are too big. Yeah, I don't know how they're gonna be optional.
I guess you can just reintroduce them in a movie.
I guess.
That, like...
Oh, and there is an after credit scene. They haven't had a lot in the shows lately.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, other news item: the New York Times came out with a list of the 100 best movies of
the 21st century.
Of the 21st century, so the last 25 years.
Everything after the year 2000.
Exactly. 2000 onwards, they came with a list of And we're not going to go through the whole list, obviously, but do you remember what number one was they decided?
I do. Well, mm-hmm. How about we... So what they did is they kind of pulled the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You could go in and fill out your ballot, which we didn't hear about until after.
Until it was done, yeah.
But you can still do it. You can create your thing, and we're gonna talk about what we chose.
Yes.
And then we'll post our cute little... the screenshots of our list to, because it prints out a nice little screenshot.
Oh, does
for you.
It? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
okay.
When you fill it out.
Okay, cool.
And I guess this is news to you, but yeah.
Yeah, I just made a list. So I just
makes a nice little screenshot here. Yeah, okay. See?
Yeah, no, yours is nice. Yeah. That is a nice list.
It's just on the website, and like you don't have to be a New York Times subscriber to do it or whatever.
Perfect.
And people filled out their ballot, and then they compiled the ballot and made a top 100 list.
Yes.
For this time period, which mm-hmm. is interesting because if you do an all-time list, there's stuff from like the 40s and 50s that like the vast majority of the population would be like, I've never heard of this in my life and I'll never watch it.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's probably some merit to their artistic integrity and stuff of these older movies and things like that. But I don't know. This is more geared towards maybe millennials that came of age in this time period and spend a lot of time watching movies. I talked to some millennial co-workers and they're like, oh yeah, that actually sounds really cool. And then we started talking about movies.
Oh, did you really?
Like,
yeah. That's really cool.
It gets the juice as well.
I love that.
That's kind of why it went viral.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a second golden age of movies. Like the 90s did go hard.
90s went hard.
And this is exempt from that, but I don't know, it's an interesting time period. So they compiled this list and we can go through the Reader's Choice top 10.
Okay,
so this is like the
compilation
to give you an idea of what kind of movies we're working with. So number 10 was The Social Network, the Facebook movie.
It was fine, but I wouldn't say it's in the top 10, but okay, keep going.
And then we have our highest animated at number 9 was Spirited Away from Studio Ghibli.
We are not anime fans.
No.
I will watch this one, though, I think. I haven't seen it.
I do think this is supposed to be the best one.
Yeah. The only one I've seen that I really liked was Kiki's Delivery Service. And that was years ago.
I haven't seen any of them, but I have heard a lot
of
good things
about Spirited Away. We'll watch it one day.
Then we have Get Out.
Oh, so good.
Which is... Yeah, the 8 seems a little high, but it's a good movie. Good movie. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind,
which I have not seen.
I haven't seen it either.
And I'm always like, I should watch that because
that movie is now over 20 years old. So,
for the last over 20 years, I've been saying, oh, we should watch that. Yeah.
Number 6 is No Country for Old Men.
Really
which
good.
Which is my favorite Coen Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at that.
Is
very
good.
Very good.
Yeah. Moonlight, which was very good.
That was very good. Yeah.
I think that's the first time I saw Mahershala Ali.
It was my first time, yeah.
Acting his butt off. He might have been in a background role in something. That
yeah,
I've seen,
but
like,
I just remember watching that being like, what the heck?
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we have a foreign film from 2001 that I've literally never heard of.
Okay.
In the Mood for Love.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I don't know that.
Yeah. There Will Be Blood.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I haven't seen this one, but Daniel Day-Lewis got a bunch of awards for it.
I know what that one is, at least.
I think this is his best role in this time period. He had a few major Oscar bait type movies, and people love them some Daniel Day-Lewis.
That's true.
Interesting. Mulholland Drive at number 2. David Lynch...
Yeah.
I've never seen this one either.
I have not watched a whole lot of David Lynch,
seen, like, I went through the whole top 100 list, and I'd seen over half of them.
Yeah.
But not so good on the top 10.
Oh, okay. I haven't gone through the whole list. I looked up certain things. There's a couple things I want to, like, mention before we get into our list, but interesting.
Yeah, so you can go through the list, and they have little checkboxes that you can...
Okay.
Click, I've seen it, or I want to see it. And then at the bottom, it tells you how many you've seen. So I've seen 62.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Sorry, I'm jumping ahead, but number one they have as Parasite, which...
Which was really good.
It was a very good movie, and I am impressed at how well that was embraced as a foreign film in general, and it was very well done.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it in as number one, but... No. I mean, we're going to talk about my list. It's not even in the top 10, but
yeah.
it's very good, and that's fine. But anyway, yeah, so I've seen 62 of the top 100.
I wish I would have figured
out that.
Which is
pretty good.
That's pretty
60%,
good.
60%, and there's quite a few on there that are, like, on my list to watch and have been for a long time. But it's always tough to get
like
back.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Yeah, exactly. So...
I'm curious. I'm going to figure out how many I've watched, too.
Yeah, pretty fun. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's the top 10. And you can go to the New York Times top 100 movies of the 21st century to see the whole 100 list and go through and see how many you've seen.
I'm going to do that.
And maybe find your next movie to watch. But now we're going to talk about our own list.
Before we did that, was there any surprises to you in the top 100 since you went through them all?
Well, the time period of it made it very difficult for some big name directors to have
their
best
movies. That's
what I
wanted to bring out. Yeah.
Spielberg.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to bring up.
It is probably our like most famous modern quote unquote director.
Yeah.
Even though he got started in the '70s, that's not really modern.
No,
anymore.
But
all his good movies happened before.
Yeah, he is on this list once, and it's in the 90s.
It's
like number 92 or
he's
something
like
that.
He's in the late 90s for Minority Report.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy to say, the one Spielberg movie.
I don't think that's his best movie post-2000 either, but I could see why people... Like, it's visually stunning and an interesting movie, but I don't know. I think Lincoln was probably better.
Yeah, but like you said, his best movies were all in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I don't know, like...
Stuff like that is
like,
just like, oh, yeah.
If you were including the 90s, you'd probably have Schindler's List in the top 10.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It might be in the top 5,
and,
honestly. That's an amazing
Jurassic
movie.
Park would be high up there
yes,
as well. So,
absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
And then Tarantino, kind of the same problem, though. He had more better movies.
Yes.
I was impressed at how high the audience rated Kill Bill.
Yes.
That one's tough because it's really one movie split into two.
Wasn't that in the top 20 or something like that?
It's pretty high
it's
up there.
High.
It's pretty
high
up there. Yeah, so.
Maybe 25, yeah. I agree. And actually, he has a few movies on this list because he has Django Unchained and he also has Inglourious Basterds on this list.
Yeah, so he did, like, his two best are probably in the 90s, but he did have some good ones after, so.
Yeah. That's what surprised me, basically, what I was going to bring up was the directors. And also, it was like, what year did this movie come out? What year did this movie come out?
And then, like, there's some working directors that are still around, like Scorsese, that, again, from a prior generation, so, like, their best movies are not eligible for this ranking.
Yes. We were watching New Rock Stars, and they talked about, like, the process for when you're picking your 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what makes you decide best movie? And I said, it's interesting because what they were saying, they're like, well, I love, I don't know, pick a random director like Scorsese, but I'm not going to pick this random movie, so I guess I'm not going to have any Scorsese. But if I was picking directors, or am I picking ones that just, like, make me happy to watch? Or am I picking ones that I know are, like, cinematically relevant or had a big impact? You know what I mean? So, like, it's interesting what goes into your definition of best, I guess.
Yeah, and everyone should have their own
definition.
And my list is probably the weirdest one that was ever submitted.
Really?
It has a very strange range.
I'm so excited to hear.
And I think it reflects kind of my taste in movies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that goes into your thing. That was going to be what I was going to ask you. Like, what makes you decide if this is a great movie or not? So it reflects
Well, first
your
of all,
taste.
I have to like it.
Obviously.
And second of all, it has to maybe mean something to me. It can't, like, Parasite. Okay, that's a good movie, but it didn't really mean anything to me.
Right.
So I like, that wouldn't even be in probably in my top 50.
Right. Does rewatchability play into it?
It can. That can be one aspect for sure.
So the example I gave was there was this movie we watched in one of our Oscar runs. It was L'Amour, right?
Amour,
not L'Amour. Amour, and I was like, this was an amazing, amazing movie, and I never, ever, ever want to watch again, and I don't want to recommend it to anyone.
Why don't we go through our list, and we can kind of talk about how we picked each movie.
And now, this is in no particular order.
This is important. It wasn't a top 10 list, it was just the top 10 of yours, so you don't know which one was 10 and which one was 1, but, and then maybe you can talk about what might be 11.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, do you want to do all 10, or do you want to, like, back
and
forth?
No, yeah, you do your list first, and we can talk about it.
Okay, so, my list is...
You don't have a nice, pretty...
No, I don't, but I will make one, yes. Okay. My list, and again, in no particular order, Avengers Infinity War.
Okay.
WALL-E.
So, Avengers Infinity War... MCU movie. Do you have any other MCU movies on your list?
No.
Okay, so this is...
So this is my representing MCU.
I went through the same thought process to try and... Because of that time period, like, the MCU started in earnest in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been, like, what, 36 MCU movies?
So many.
And, like, that's... I've spent more time in theaters watching MCU movies than anything else over that time period.
Yeah,
and so I figured it was probably, maybe I should pick the best one of those, or the most important one of those to put on this list.
I know some people did put Endgame.
A lot of people, like, well, you were talking about watching new rock stars do this. I was surprised a lot of them put Endgame.
And I know that, like, Endgame has, like, one of the coolest cinematic moments ever, and that's the, like, on your right and...
Left.
On your left.
Wow.
Fake fan. On your left. And, like, that was just
the portal scene is very cool. Immediately followed by the girl power team up, which is
hurt. It hurt.
But anyway.
But Infinity War was watching that movie in theaters was an experience that I will always remember.
Yeah, in a different way. But I think the plot and flow of Infinity War works a lot better.
I think so too.
Anyway.
Okay, so that's on my list. Then I have WALL-E.
Okay, Pixar film. Do you have any other Pixar films?
This is my only Pixar film.
Okay, so did you do the same thought process?
I was thinking, because I was trying to think, okay, what movies, like, really matter to me? And then when I was thinking, well, I have to include an MCU, I have to include a Pixar. Well, and not if there was one that came out to me.
And I wanted some animation representation.
Absolutely. I'm a massive fan of animated movies. And then when I was thinking about it, I was like, wait, WALL-E is, like, absolutely amazing. And then every time I watch it, I'm like, this is one of the best movies, animated or not. So as soon as we mentioned that one, it came on my list for sure. I have watched this so many times, and I love it every time.
Yeah, because you teach it in film
studies. I do. I teach it in film studies often. Yeah. Then this one came up during discussion. I had totally forgotten to include on my list, and I actually kicked out another one to put it on my list. Cabin in the Woods.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any other horror films on your
list? This is my only horror film.
Okay. So,
you can kind of see,
this is a horror film.
Yeah.
But, like, also satirical.
Yeah. Which I really like. Seen it a few times, and every time I watch it, I'm like, oh man, it's so cool. Also, we've talked before that we really like Joss Whedon's work.
He's a good writer. He's not allowed to write anymore.
He's not. But this was, like, when he was doing good things, basically. There's some great
maybe doing bad...
Doing good writing. Yes. Really creative approaches to writing and things like that. I really liked this. I liked a lot of the acting in it.
It's hilarious.
It's so funny and it's so...
There's
shocking.
There's legitimate horror
there is.
In it, but it's also hilarious, and it, like, just, I don't know, it's great.
It works perfectly.
I wanted to put that on my list, but I couldn't find room.
Yeah, that's fair. This is I'm not a massive, massive horror fan, and so this is one, but I'm always a fan of good writing, and this one blew my mind with the good writing. Okay, my next one, I actually originally had 3 slashes because I was deciding until this particular moment which one to include. And again, I'm representing genre.
On the official widget, you couldn't do that.
Yeah, you have to decide right then.
Yeah.
Again, you said, okay, well, I had a representation from the MCU. I had a representation from Pixar. I had a representation from horror. Here's my representation of musicals. I was deciding between Chicago, Moulin Rouge, and Rent.
That was the early 2000s musical renaissance.
Yes. And I was really, really torn on this, but I'm going to go with Chicago.
That's the one that kicked it off.
And that's why. And it was, I was really torn because I also really, really like, I think Moulin Rouge is like visually stunning. But I don't think that would have been successful if Chicago didn't do as well.
Yeah.
No, and I think it's probably just technically a better movie.
Yeah. There's some really cool shots that they use the medium of a film to translate it from a Broadway show to a movie that I think they did better than Moulin Rouge.
Yeah. So Moulin Rouge, the director who did that, has done other things where he's like really big on spectacle. And while I really enjoy that, I think he just relies on, I'm going to make it a spectacle and not necessarily do it like use film as storytelling. And I think Chicago does more.
Chicago is very good. Yeah. I would like to see that again. It's been a while.
I really like it. So anyway, that is my musical representation. Okay. Chicago.
Yeah, don't hate that.
Then I had to have a Star Wars representation on here.
Oh, you did?
I did. I put on Rogue One.
That is the best Star Wars movie to come out.
And this one I was kind of torn on because is that technically better than some other ones? But then I was like, this is a personal one for me because I love this movie.
Well, no, but like it is the best one.
Oh, it's the best Star Wars one for sure. Yeah. I'm saying, is it better than some other movies that came out that wasn't?
I was comparing it to the rest of Star Wars because you said you wanted a Star Wars one.
Yes. See, but then I was like, but I really wanted Star Wars. There's one, I'm going to tell you right now, there is no animated Disney movie on my list.
Yeah.
There almost was. I almost put on Encanto because I think it's the best one. And it, like, I love it. But then I was like, do I love the whole movie or do I love Lin-Manuel Miranda's writing? And do I love the character of Luisa? and so it was kind of the same kind of thing. And then I was like, Wally can, like, hold on to that animated category kind of thing. Yeah. But then I was like, okay, but I am going to include Star Wars then.
Okay.
Okay. And the thing that I was actually picking between... is going to come later because I do have another animated movie that's not Disney on this list.
Okay.
Shrek.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Shrek came out and this is what I was deciding because most of mine are like, I love this movie and that is what trumps the other ones. But I was like, Shrek is like, was culturally significant and you can't say that about Encanto.
Shrek slaps.
Like it is.
It's hilarious.
It is so good.
And it's got equal humor for kids and adults, like, and it works.
So that's what kicked Encanto off my list.
Yeah, okay.
Was Shrek because I was like, I had to go because I love them both, but one was more important. So when I was, that's kind of was my deciding factor there.
Okay.
But yes, Shrek came out, and then I looked up. I was like, oh yeah, no, that was early 2000s. I included Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Now, this one I really, really liked, and I thought it was so, so cool. This is the one that is least emotionally significant to me personally, even though I really, really enjoyed it. It was just, this is my representation of, like, really out there movies that I really enjoyed, but, like, I know are, like, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's my representation of that. It's not Oscar bait, but it's like, this is my award-winning representation.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they sat down and wrote that film and made it to be Oscar bait. It turned out that it was.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of my representation of this.
Yeah, okay.
This is like the artistic avant-garde representation. Yeah. Okay. Another artistic movie that should have won an Oscar. Oh, you know what? This, I guess, is kind of horror, too. Pan's Labyrinth.
Kind of, yes. Yeah. Man, it's going to be interesting comparing our lists.
Okay. Do we have some similars?
We share a few brain cells.
Okay. That's Pan's Labyrinth, though, is amazing. I've recently watched this. Like, I taught it this year because I had a group of senior film study students. If I hadn't recently seen it, I probably would have forgotten it. But, man, the whole time I'm just like, this is stunning. This is amazing. This is so good.
Yeah. So.
And so upsetting.
Guillermo has come into more prominence in the English-speaking film world, and he won the Oscar for Shape of Water, the fish effing film.
Yeah, which I liked that movie, but it was nowhere near his best.
Pan's Labyrinth is way better, and
The Devil's Backbone is the second best.
Devil's Backbone might even be better.
It
than
might
Pan's,
be.
Pan's
it might be. It's
Pan's
so
Labyrinth
good.
Is an easier sell, but
yeah,
I don't know. That he's very very good, and I really hope he eventually gets to make his Lovecraft movie.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I want to see that really really badly.
I get that. That'd be cool. Yeah. If there was ever a director to do it.
And, well, his next film is Frankenstein.
That's yeah, I'm so excited for exciting. That one. I'm okay. so excited for that.
He's a great director.
So, you know, I guess you could also call this my foreign language film, because it is technically
foreign language.
Yeah, which isn't why I picked it, but, okay. Then I have Jojo Rabbit.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is another one I teach every year. So there might be some recency bias on this, not that it came out, but just I've seen them so recently.
So, and that was part of my list I was cognizant of. Time periods,
okay,
because you have kind of like your early to mid 2000s and then like the 2010s and then like recent, so I tried to
spread it out a little
bit. I tried to, I don't know.
You can tell I kind of tried to do genres, but all mine are like but the first time I watched that, it boggled my mind. It was speaking of great writing, you can also tell a lot of my favorites like blur genres, which I really like. Probably because that's usually a sign of really good writing, honestly.
No,
Jojo Rabbit is so good.
Very, very good.
So good.
I think that might be Taika Waititi's best
I think
movie.
So. Yeah. I think so. And then my one that I was so excited about, I actually forgot. And then as soon as I remembered it, I actually jumped back on here and changed my list to include Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
Okay.
That's my
10. So that's your Disney representation.
That's my Disney representation. That made me feel better about kicking Encanto off for Shrek.
That is one of the few close to perfect movies, I would say.
It is one that is so rewatchable. I can't count the amount of times I've seen this movie. I could watch it again today and be very happy doing it.
Yeah.
Super fun, but also like it's a really good movie. Like you said, close to perfect.
It reminds the Pirates franchise reminds me a lot of the Jurassic Park franchise. The first movie is an absolute banger, all time.
Yeah.
Perfectly set up, and the plot just works.
You're right. They are so similar.
And then the sequels have varying degrees of diminishing returns.
And there's three that are centered, and then they go off. Wow.
Very similar franchise history there, yeah. I feel.
But yeah, so this one, and this is also like a movie that I don't know if I would be like, oh, this is my favorite movie of all time. But my favorite movie of all time is not technically an amazing movie. It's just rewatchable and happy and wonderful. And that's Dirty Dancing, which came out like a long time ago, obviously. And I feel like Pirates is very similar in that. It's just wonderful. It's funny. There's like action. There's really cool acting. Can you believe Keira Knightley was 17 making this movie? But just so good.
Yeah, well, they gave her a enhanced bodice.
Yes,
so.
They did. And that was one that made me feel a lot better about kicking not having a Disney animated.
Okay, so no Tarantino. No Spielberg, like we talked about. No Christopher Nolan.
No Nolan. I know, and because I was like, I can probably give you...
He was probably in his prime during this.
It's true. I could probably give you a list of top 10 best movies, but they wouldn't be my favorite movies.
Okay. So what would your 11th be then?
Well, because I was doing a lot of this from personally speaking, I kicked Encanto off the list. So,
that would have been
my 11th.
Okay.
Again, because I was looking at my favorites.
No Lord of the Rings as well.
Oh, I actually did have that on my list originally. I had Fellowship on my list originally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your list.
I kicked off for Shrek, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Pirates were my late additions that made me rearrange things.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. That list is very you.
Yeah. So that was the other thing I said. I said, if I gave someone this list, you'd be like, you can have an idea of what my interests and personality based on this list. Mm-hmm. Would you say that is accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm excited. I'm so excited to hear yours. Oh, were there any surprises, either omissions or inclusions on my list?
I think I was most surprised when you first said it was Jojo Rabbit, because I kind of forgot about that one.
Mm-hmm.
But not in, like, a bad way. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. I have a couple on here that you will say
okay.
the same.
Are you surprised I didn't include anything? Mostly just not a Disney movie?
I thought you might try to get a Disney animated.
Yeah.
But
It would be in
post-90s, so
I know. Zootopia is also a really, really good movie, too. But, like, then I said, if I'm trying to, like, what movie should I include, then that should be my sign.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, I'll do my list. I'll start with the ones that we had the same.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. Did we have lots of
We had a few overlaps.
Really?
So,
okay.
My MCU movie, I had to pick one, was Infinity War.
That doesn't surprise me. I thought you might go... I'm not surprised you included MCU. I thought you might go original Avengers.
I briefly thought about it, but Infinity War is better.
It is.
My other MCU option...
Guardians.
Was going to be Guardians, which would also kind of double up as my space opera...
Totally get
because
it.
Because I don't have any Star Wars.
So, see, that does surprise me. Actually, but when you think about the 2000s, does that actually surprise me? Not really.
Rogue One is good. It doesn't...
It doesn't beat out some of the other ones?
It might be in the top 20.
Okay.
Maybe.
Guardians, I did think about. Because I'm like, that's just a good movie.
Yeah. I think, like, Rogue One was really good. I think Guardians is the best Star Wars movie to come out.
I get it.
It's... No, it's great space opera, and that's what Star Wars should be. But anyway.
Okay, so Infinity War,
Infinity War. Mm-hmm. I also had Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
I know you really, really like that movie. I'm kind of surprised it made your top 10, just because there's a lot of movies you really like. I know that.
I have wide-ranging tastes.
Yeah. So what was your thought process? Like you said, you had to include MCU. What was your thought process with Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
Well, that was me trying to come up with a recent... movie.
Okay. You know, I get it.
That's my... one of the ones that was on the top 100 list that was very recent was Zone of Interest.
That was, like, in the top 20, even. Like,
yeah,
it was high.
It was very high.
And I was like, did enough people watch this?
And I was kind of surprised. I almost wanted to go something like The Triangle of Sadness, which I really, really liked. Is, like, my kind of humor. And, I almost did that instead. But no, I went with this one. I think it's
Anatomy of a Fall was really high on the list too.
It was, and that was very good as well.
I really liked that. The acting in that was great. But
yeah, this is my most recent one.
It.
The other closest one to that we'll get to.
Okay.
But, so that was that kind of thought process.
Mm-hmm.
I also had Pan's Labyrinth.
To be fair, though, that's such a good movie, and we had just talked about it, so I was
That was
so good.
Very good. And I also had WALL-E.
You did have WALL-E. That actually surprises me as well. Not just that you were like, I'll include a Pixar movie.
I wanted an animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
And WALL-E's really good.
It's amazing. It is like my second favorite animated movie of all time. Beauty and the Beast is the only thing I like more.
Like, Up is a very good Pixar movie.
Yes.
But
it is.
Like, the first 10 minutes and the rest of the movie aren't really congruent.
Yeah, you're picking it because of Doug.
Whereas, like, WALL-E's third act maybe isn't quite congruent, but...
It works so well.
It's a little more cohesive.
The other Disney animated movie I thought about was Big Hero 6, by the way.
Yeah, it's good. It wouldn't be in my top.
No.
I do love it, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, WALL-E,
WALL-E,
think it's...
okay.
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
And the fact that you can get people to go, to a little... box robot
that says one word.
Yeah.
WALL-E.
Yeah, like, that's kind of wild to me.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay, I don't know what order I'm gonna do this in, but yeah, those were the same. So 1, 2, 3, 4
wow.
overlaps. 4 out of 10.
That actually surprises me. That's higher than I expected.
And then I guess we almost had one more overlap. We've already talked about Lord of the Rings.
Yes,
I did. I kicked something off to put it in there because I was like, no. And I was...
Whereas I kicked off Lord of the Rings. Which one did you include?
The reason I was struggling with it so much is because, like, it's kind of a package deal. And, like, how do you pick one?
I
was choosing between Fellowship and Return of the King.
Of course.
Much like when the Oscar time came around, they waited until the last one to give it any awards.
Okay.
And then Return of the King kind of swept. But I went with Fellowship.
Okay.
Because it kind of sets up the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's probably the easiest one to watch on a standalone basis.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I kicked Fellowship off.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me what you kicked off to put Fellowship on?
I'll tell you, it's my 11th.
Okay.
So,
oh, yeah. It is? Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Like, literally, it was like that or that.
Oh, okay. See, whereas I had a few messing with.
Okay, I did. So, Pan's Labyrinth, kind of horror, but not really. I did put on Midsommar.
That doesn't surprise me. That was amazing.
I needed a highbrow A24 horror movie on this list.
I totally get that. And that's a recent movie.
And yeah, so that was 2019. That was the second most recent.
Okay.
So that's been 6 years.
Wow, that has been 6 years?
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts. That is a gorgeous movie, though.
It is. It's beautifully shot. It's almost got like an unreliable narrator aspect to it.
Which I love.
And Florence Pugh just like...
Oh, my God.
Amazing. And... wonderful. The Ari Aster makes great horror movies, mm-hmm. He's got one coming out this summer,
mm-hmm.
And we'll see if there's a horror tint to it. Like, you can't really tell what the new movie's about, so I don't know.
We'll see.
It's like Eddington or whatever it's
called.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, I love this movie. So it's really good.
I do remember, and man, that movie stuck with me. Like, it's still. I don't know, just a little bit disconcerting every time I think about it.
Extremely disconcerting, mm-hmm. which is...
But I mean, even now thinking about it, years later, I'm like, oh man, that's like...
absolutely...
Totally, great choice.
Absolutely love it.
Wouldn't make my top 10, but great choice for you.
Yeah, no, yeah. And that's the way it should be.
I like it.
And so you asked me about rewatchability on this list.
Yeah.
And then you brought up an example of a movie that's like not rewatchable.
Exactly.
It's on my list.
No, it's not.
Amor.
Is it really on your list? There are a few movies that messed me up. I mean, to be fair, there was like personal stuff going on, like timing wise. We watched that right after my grandpa had passed away.
Yeah. So I was actually choosing between this one and The Father. Which is...
Oh, I totally forgot about The Father.
Very similar kind of plot where just like your degeneration of an elderly person.
Oh,
and,
man.
tough to even talk about right now, thinking about it, but...
like you said, when Amor is amazing. Totally rewatchable.
Yeah, like I'm not one to cry at movies or anything, but I was like bawling during this one.
Yeah, and I was a mess. Like I was just an absolute mess. The Father. If I had thought of The Father, it might have kicked something out.
Yeah, so
but again, not rewatchable. Just like blew my mind how good it was, though.
Yeah, so that was good, and that's also my second foreign language film, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, really? Yeah, I guess. Oh, I said Pan's Labyrinth was foreign language. Everything Everywhere All at Once is also foreign language. I totally forgot about. Partly.
Very partly.
It wouldn't be a foreign language film. There would just be foreign language in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, heck, there's rocks talking at one point, so I guess
it's primarily English, it's not foreign language.
Okay.
So yeah,
all right. You included that is a super surprise to me.
Very powerful film, so
it is,
and a lot of people wouldn't have seen it, so I want it. Like I said, I want a range.
I'm not mad that you picked it, but like that just shocked. That's my surprise on your list so far.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went with The Big Short.
That does not surprise me at all.
I wanted an Oscar bait movie that spoke to me a little more than... Like, we watch all the Best Picture nominees every year, and I like most of them.
Yeah.
Some of them I don't like.
The Artist.
Beast of the Southern Wild is still the worst one.
Is that worse than The Artist for you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I just get annoyed about The Artist because it, like... was popular.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
Anyway, but The Big Short, hilarious, poignant, and interesting.
Yeah.
So that was my, like, kind of Oscar baity one.
That doesn't surprise me. So, I remember how much you liked that movie when we first saw it.
Yeah. Fantastic. I should watch it again, actually.
You should.
Because it's been a while.
Yeah.
And then in the comedy genre, I went with one that's very, very important to me.
I know what this is.
Well, important isn't maybe the right word, but I've probably seen this movie almost as much as any other movie
Which is saying something.
Which is saying something, because I watched a heck of a lot of Ghostbusters mm-hmm. back in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
And we just watched it last night.
Yeah, we did.
In preparation for our trip to Europe. 2004's Euro trip. And I am not... You would call it a guilty pleasure, but I'm not guilty about this at all.
I remember you wrote an essay about this in university, this movie.
Yeah. There was a smattering of gross out comedies kind of playing off the success of Adam Sandler movies in the late 90s, early 2000s, and this was on that train, but it's way smarter than any of them.
It is. I've seen this movie a lot because you've seen this movie a lot.
Yeah.
It's funny, honestly. Like, there's stuff did not age well. All right.
No, sure. I mean, any comedy from that era, there's gonna be like your gay jokes and stuff like
where
that.
Where there's
that
like harassment, where I'm like, oh, that's actually terrifying.
Yeah.
But like Michelle Trachtenberg is amazing. There, you. When else do you have Matt Damon in like full punk outfit singing and screaming?
even the misguided youth of Gen Z recognize Scotty Doesn't Know as the greatest in-universe written song
for
a movie ever.
You know what? I swear I have students who know that song and have no idea where it's from.
No idea. I love Eurotrip, and this was the first one I put on the list.
I'm glad that you were like, I need a comedy on here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I actually technically have three comedies on here. Yeah, because... So that was my ninth movie that we've gone through on the list. And this one probably will surprise you as well. It's kind of pulling from some historic...
Really?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, that was good.
I needed a prototypical, like, Fox Searchlight indie film type of thing. And I was like, I don't know, Lady Bird was pretty good.
Lady Bird was really good.
Not really speaking to me and my experience, so I don't know.
Whereas Lady Bird really, like, I really liked the movie. Yeah.
Little Miss Sunshine was great. Steve Carell was awesome. Alan Arkin was so freaking good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's done so many things, but I'm like, when I think about him, I think of him in Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
We should watch the movie again, actually.
So good. Anyway, so, yeah, that's my... 10.
Tell me, you're
kind of varied.
You said three comedies, so you had Little Miss Sunshine, you have Eurotrip. What was your other comedy?
The Big Short, I classify as a comedy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, that's 100% a comedy.
There's definitely comedic stuff in it. I always think it's like I don't know, maybe it's because it was an Oscar movie, but yeah. It's not a drama, so I guess that makes sense.
Oh, it's definitely a comedy. It's a dark comedy.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I'm like, technically, I laughed aloud a lot in Cabin in the Woods.
A horror comedy.
Yeah, it's a horror comedy.
Which is a genre.
Absolutely.
Not a very successful genre, but it's a genre.
Yeah, basically you have Cabin in the Woods. That's a success in there.
Ghostbusters would be considered a horror comedy.
What was your 11th?
So, my 11th, and I had it on this list originally, and because I was trying to pick a Christopher Nolan film.
Okay.
He's been a very important director for this exact time period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his first big film was Memento, which was
so good.
2001. I thought about that one a lot.
Yeah. That's my favorite of his, I think.
A lot of people like The Dark Knight. I think that's very overrated.
I like it. It is nowhere in my top 20.
I actually like Batman Begins more than The Dark Knight. As a film,
I totally get that. Yeah, the only thing I like
Heath Ledger's Joker is really really good.
That's it.
The plot of The Dark Knight is actually really stupid if you sit down and think about it.
The thing about The Dark Knight that I love is Heath Ledger in it. I'm like, you don't pick the movie because of that.
It's great, but
and so if you're trying to pick a Nolan film, that's not what you pick.
And I don't like any of his newer stuff, except Oppenheimer.
I liked Oppenheimer,
but I wasn't gonna pick Oppenheimer.
No,
what I wanted to pick was Inception.
It was great.
It was very good, but I couldn't.
You couldn't not have Fellowship for Inception.
No.
Amour is the one that surprises me.
Yeah. I go from a early 2000s gross out comedy to a somber emotional reflection on the trials and tribulations of someone going through dementia in French.
Yeah.
I feel that my list is very...
And you know what? And it doesn't surprise me that you liked that movie. I talk a lot about the significance of that movie to me. Mm. And I know when we watched it, like you said, you were emotional stuff watching it, but I was like a wreck. And you said you were basically like holding it together because you were watching it with me. And I think that's just the one that we've talked about the least.
Sure.
So I think that's why I'm like, oh, it's a surprise.
Not easy to talk about. No. Very, very powerful movie.
And I think it is an amazing and horrible and amazing love story.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why it's so devastating. Yeah. No, that's just the surprise because I feel like that's the one that...
And so, yeah, I had no Nolan.
No Nolan.
No Spielberg. No Tarantino.
But again, what do you pick for Spielberg?
I couldn't. I wouldn't, nothing from the 2000s.
Exactly. I think my favorite movie by Spielberg in 2000s is probably The Fablemans.
Yeah, which is fine.
Which is fine. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's fine. The end. Like, that's the end of the story. Tarantino surprises me that you don't have any Tarantino. I thought for sure Kill Bill was going to be on your list.
If I could put them both together.
I get that.
And Django.
Django Unchained was so good.
And Inglourious Basterds. Yeah. Like, they'd probably be, like, would be in, like, the top 15, maybe?
Okay, all right.
But, yeah, I couldn't, I don't know, I had to,
you gotta make some choices, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, so.
I like that you were like, I want smatterings of things time periods.
I wanted a spread.
Yeah. See, I didn't think the time periods. I did think genres, but I didn't think time periods. Yeah. Interesting. And so no Star Wars, but like, what do you pick?
Yeah, I couldn't bring myself to, like, if my favorite Star Wars from this time period would be Rogue One.
Yeah.
But I don't know, that might be in the top 20, maybe the top 30.
Yeah, that's fair. I get it. So no Nolan, no Star Wars, no Tarantino.
I did almost, this would probably be 12 or 13, I thought very heavily about a Scorsese movie, The Departed.
Oh, that's a good movie.
I really loved The Departed, yeah. But it didn't.
But again, no Scorsese on either of our lists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me as much for me, but.
Yeah. It would be The Departed for me, for Scorsese. But.
I think if you look at my list, you're like, this is Krista's personality.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at your list, it's like, this is your Brandon's interests. Right? Like, it's very varied. Very varied. Which very, I like.
Yeah. Well, and that's how I watch movies. Like,
yeah, I know.
I will watch almost anything, except less music biopics, please.
And you actually don't even have a problem with them. There's just so many, and you're, like, not a music fan.
And they're all the same.
Okay, what was the hardest part of this process?
Well, narrowing it down to 10.
Are there any on my list that you're like, I wish I would have thought of that?
Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah. And like I said, that's one of the ones that was a late addition.
and Pirates is pretty good too. I probably wouldn't have been able to find room, obviously.
But it makes sense for my list.
But it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. This was fun, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see why it went viral, because it's, I don't know. If you like movies, it's a fun topic of conversation.
Yeah. And like I said, it gets people talking all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any final thoughts on this one?
Go watch some movies.
Yeah,
There's a list of 100. Go to...
Well, I'm going to make mine pretty now.
Yeah.
So.
I'll send you my screenshot.
Yes, and please do. Thank you.
You can post them.
I will. So that is our show this week. And we've talked about, we're going to be gone. And we're going to try and do... something.
I gotta test it out on my phone, but we're gonna record some live-ish just no editing, no music,
nope.
Just stuff from like our cruise cabin or hotel rooms,
hotel room,
and etc. And see how that goes. And I don't know.
We'll try it. We're gonna see how it works.
Some light summer listening as we travel through Europe.
Maybe.
Nowhere near Berlin.
We're not going to Bratislava.
No.
What we did before, though.
Yeah.
But you're right. Nowhere near Berlin. Also, please follow us on Instagram, because man will be posting pictures and stories and things like that. So definitely be checking that out. So that's our show this week. Thank you, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you hear at the top of the show. Also, he has a brand new single out, so you should probably go listen to it. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, where you can also find a link to our social media accounts and our email.
Oh!
Stop.
Speaking of social media accounts and podcasts and new things.
Oh! I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it up. We have we got a cool email from Million Podcasts and
Top 100 lists, of course, that we're talking about.
Yeah,
right now.
This is perfect.
Good,
yeah. We made it onto two lists for the top 100.
They compile kind of like your Billboard Hot 100, but for podcasts.
Yeah.
And in the Disney podcast.
Yeah, in
list.
The top 100 Disneyland podcasts, we are on that one. And we are on the top 60 Disney movie podcasts. So when people are like, hey, I want to know stuff about Disney owned movies, we're actually, I looked up our numbers. We're actually in the top 50.
Nice.
But the list is top 60, but we're in the top 50 of it. So.
Okay, well, those are rookie numbers. You got to pump those up.
That movie didn't make our list either.
No, but like The Big Short and Wolf of Wall Street were.
Very,
I
feel what you're doing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, yes, high five.
So anyway, that's pretty cool. So go check out the
Million
podcast.
Yeah.
And maybe help our numbers go up.
Yeah, that'd be great. Tell all your friends to listen to us. Mm. Tell, or like people you don't like. That's fine too.
And
we're not picky.
We got some badges, so we're going to put those on our
socials
and stuff. And probably mention this every episode, I guess.
I think so. I think it's really cool. And every once in a while, we should just check and see what our numbers are now.
Mm.
You can also find us there. If you rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't yet, you should, because that probably helps too, honestly. Next episode, we don't have one. We'll just listen to us whenever.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of free form. It might not even be on Mondays. I don't know.
Yeah, it'll just be... Time will cease to have meaning, so it'll be whenever.
Come on vacation with us.
Yeah, I'm excited. So I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney,
Wow.
Wow.
Fake fan.
Fake fan.